In the late 1960s, the psychologist Stanley Milgram conducted an experiment to find an answer to what has become known as the small world problem. The problem is this: how are human beings connected? Do we all belong to separate worlds, operating simultaneously but autonomously, so that the links between any two people anywhere in the world are few and distant? Or are we all bound up together in some grand interlocking web? In a way, Milgram was asking, how does an idea or trend or piece of news, the British are coming, travel through a population? Milgram's idea was to test this question with a chain letter. He got the names of 160 people who lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and mailed each of them a packet. In the packet was the name and address of a stockbroker who worked in Boston and lived in Sharon, Massachusetts. Each person was instructed to write his name on the packet and send it on to a friend or acquaintance that he thought would get the packet closer to the stockbroker. If you lived in Omaha and had a cousin outside of Boston, for example, you might send it to him on the grounds that even if he did not himself know the stockbroker, your cousin would be a lot more likely to be able to get to the stockbroker in two or three or four steps. The idea was that when the packet finally arrived at the stockbroker's house, Milgram could look at the list of all those whose hands it went through to get there and establish how closely connected someone chosen at random from one part of the country was to another person in another part of the country. Milgram found that most of the letters reached the stockbroker in five or six steps. This experiment is where we get the concept of 6 degrees of separation. In the 6 degrees of separation, not all degrees are equal. When Milgram analyzed his experiment, he found that many of the chains from Omaha to Sharon followed the same asymmetrical pattern. 24 letters reached the stockbroker at his home, in Sharon, and of those, 16 were given to him by the same person, a clothing merchant Milgram calls Mr. Jacobs. The balance of letters came to the stockbroker at his office, and of those, the majority came through two other men, who Milgram calls Mr. Brown and Mr. Jones. In all, half of the responses that came back to the stockbroker were delivered to him by these same three people. Think of it. Dozens of people, chosen at random from a large Midwestern city, send out letters independently. Some go through college acquaintances. Some send the letters to relatives. Some send them to old workmates. Everyone has a different strategy. Yet in the end, when all of those separate and idiosyncratic chains were completed, half of those letters ended up in the hands of Jacobs, Jones, and Brown. 6 degrees of separation doesn't mean that everyone is linked to everyone else in just six steps. It means that a very small number of people are linked to everyone else in a few steps, and the rest of us are linked to the world through those special few. There is an easy way to explore this idea. Suppose that you made a list of the 40 people whom you would call your circle of friends, not including family and coworkers, and in each case, worked backward until you could identify the person who is ultimately responsible for setting in motion the series of connections that led to that friendship. My oldest friend Bruce, for example, I met in first grade, so I'm the responsible party. That's easy. I met my friend Nigel because he lived down the hall in college from my friend Tom, who I met because in freshman year he invited me to play touch football. Tom is responsible for Nigel. Once you've made all of the connections, the strange thing is that you'll find the same names coming up again and again. I have a friend named Amy, who I met when her friend Katie brought her to a restaurant one night where I was having dinner. I know Katie because she's best friends with my friend Larissa, who I know because I was told to look her up by a mutual friend of both of ours, Mike A., whom I know because he went to school with another friend of mine, Mike H., who used to work at a political weekly with my friend Jacob. No Jacob, no Amy. In fact, when I go down my list of 40 friends, 30 of them, in one way or another, lead back to Jacob. My social circle is, in reality, not a circle. It's a pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid is a single person, Jacob, who is responsible for an overwhelming majority of the relationships that comprise my life. Not only is my social circle not a circle then, but it's not mine either. It belongs to Jacob. It's more like a club than he invited me to join. These people who link us up with the world, who bridge Omaha and Sharon, who introduce us to our social circle, these people on whom we rely more heavily than we realize are connectors, people with a special gift for bringing the world together. What makes someone a connector? The first and most obvious criterion is that connectors know lots of people. They are the kinds of people who know everyone. All of us know someone like this, but I don't think we spend a lot of time thinking about the importance of these kinds of people. I'm not even sure that most of us really believe that the kind of person who knows everyone really knows everyone, but they do.